Welcome to Hack Your Human Design. I'm Melanie Hill, your host, and I'm here to help you hack your human design so you can stop wasting all your energy hustling and start aligning with who you really are so you can become a magnet to your people and the income you really want. I want you to help more people with more love and more self-trust. If you want to build or scale your business with ease, listen on. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast today. So I am super excited to be with a very special guest. Raisa Monique. She's making all these faces. Y'all can't see her, but she's so stinking cute, y'all. She's a 3-6 generator. She has been a client of mine for a little while now, and I'm really excited about our conversation today. She said some most amazing things in our last session, and I was like, oh my God, you have to come talk about this because I feel like she's an expert on it, really, and it's a big part of why you're here. So anyway. Hi, Raisa. Tell everybody about you, who you work with, and all of that.
Oh, thank you. So I actually work with women in tech. I help them improve their relationships as well as have more confidence with less stress. But the biggest thing and what drew me to Melanie was I wanted to build my business in the way that I wanted to build a business. Mm-hmm. I've tried other things and I didn't want to be in a box anymore. So this just made sense.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. I definitely hate being in the box too.
No.
As you know.
Even though I honestly, one of the things is I kept on putting myself in a box or trying to put myself in a box and it didn't work.
Yeah. It feels awful in there.
It's horrible.
And you're way too cute to be in a box.
Exactly. But like, again, for your listeners who are probably familiar with human design. So I just end up being frustrated. Which is my anti-self theme or...
Right. Mm-hmm. You're not self theme. Yeah. Yeah. As a generator, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and we all get angry, I think. You know, anybody's not self theme is an angry flavor feeling, what I call it, right? So definitely not fun. Yeah. And being in the box for you, I would say too, has a lot to do with your identity, who you're being, what you're sharing in the world. And so what you said on our last call was really about how owning your value is something that is seen as kind of rebellious.
Yes.
Right?
Rebellious.
In the world, right? Mm-hmm. I know. It's like something we really like thinks the eye to eye on for sure. And it's what I call like gate eight energy, right? Mm-hmm. So gate eight in human design, it's all about, it's coming from the throat towards the G center. So it's all about authentic self-expression and knowing that your most authentic self-expression is your greatest contribution to the world. Mm-hmm. And I see this embodied in you so well. This is your conscious Jupiter placement, which is what really unlocks a lot of abundance in your life for you. And it's a placement for me too, a really prominent one as well. But yeah, tell me, why is it so important to you to be doing things that are very authentic to who you are?
Well, I think that all of us like are here and we're made uniquely. Like one of the visible ways we can see that is that all of us have unique fingerprints. I mean, even identical twins do, right? And we all have our design, whether it's human design. I mean, like to me, it's almost like we all have a like an invisible manual that we came with, but none of us can read it. But yet we're expected to be like everyone else. Like I gave an example, if you have a manual for a microwave and you're expecting it to be like a screwdriver, it's not going to work, right?
Right.
It neither of them are bad. That's just the intent is different. But just because I was born a girl and then I was, you know, born at a certain time and this is how I should act. This is how the way I should be, like just trying to fit myself in a box. And it was so interesting with our time together as far as me recognizing how much of I was showing up actually wasn't me. Mm-hmm. It was some of it was ancestral or even had to do with my upbringing. But I think the key is for people to recognize and own their own design and like to get to know and love themselves. Like one thing I do, I bump into walls, I drop things, but I don't, as far as I'm concerned, that if you look in the Raisa Monique design book, mm-hmm. it's right there. I'm right on track. But I don't make that a problem. Like I shouldn't be this way, or I don't label myself clumsy as a result. I bump into, I guess that's how it was designed. You have a problem with it, go see the maker, right?
Right.
But it's just owning that. And I think people have their own little, I don't want to call them quirks, but their own little features. But so many times we make ourselves wrong. What's wrong with me? Or a lot of times even imposter syndrome. It's not necessarily about who we are. It's who we think we should be, right? Like almost like a dog trying to be a cat or an elephant trying to be a lion. Like there's nothing wrong with those individual animals. They are who they are. And I think that's a lot of frustration that like people have every day, is that because they never learn to get to know themselves and love themselves for who they've been designed to be. They're not flawed. They just need to understand and know their actual design.
And why do you think that that is a rebellious act?
Because of all the systems of oppression. There's so many. I can go into the list, but there's so many, right? That for us to stay small, for us to have this this constant conflict, oh, I should be this, I should be, that allows the system of oppression for them to continue to win. Because we do stay small. We don't work or operate in our gifts and our talents, and we just end up being another cog in the wheel.
Yeah, and it really turns off our sense of, like, what do we want to do?
Absolutely. And what we want to do are guides that can show us how to use our gifts and our talents in a way that will help the world, right? And also, I think the term play small is very interesting, because the key word is play, right? I am not small. I am playing small, right? No different than if I was
pretending.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because it's not true. That's not who we are. But if we own that, like, think about all the ideas and all the services that people could provide. There might be less employees. There might be less people who do this or be dependent on an application or even a service, because there would be so many different options, right? But if we all drown ourselves out, if we all numb ourselves out because we're not tapping into who we are and what we're here for and what we enjoy, like you said, like following those desires, then all those systems of oppression honestly win, because again, the machine just keeps running.
Right. It keeps that same group of people in charge, right?
With exactly
all the wealth, all the power, all the control. Yeah. And like you said, like, yeah, there may be a lot less employees if we all do this, right? Which would definitely take out, wipe out, right? A lot of systems.
Yes.
Yeah. Ugh, wouldn't that be beautiful?
There would be so much more variety, so much more selection. I mean, even like the number of inventions, it seems like, it's not like I sit there and count, but they seem like they're like slowing down a lot. And I think it's just because people are just being inundated and consuming all this stuff. They're not spending enough time to actually tap in to see what it is they can create. And knowing that whatever they create is good, right?
Right.
Because like the invention that gets me every time is the Starbucks little cardboard.
Like the cup insulator.
Anyone could have made that up.
Yeah.
Someone gets paid a lot of stinking money for that.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, just for the idea of it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. If they produce it, they have to pay that person.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. And so I think, too, I had a lot of thoughts pop in as you were saying that, of course. But yeah, what you said about inventions, I think a lot of people, because of like technology and the world we live in, right? Just in the past, like, I mean, I would say too, COVID and the pandemic like amplified it a lot, right? Like how much we meet virtually and how many people we can reach virtually. Because of that, I have seen like this uptick in very specific products that people are making that are kind of like that, right? Like very specific, very like just a handful of people on the earth would want it or need it, but it is so uniquely like perfect for those people, right? And people are very, very successful the more specific you get. But too, I think because more people are venturing out like that, what I'm seeing too is a lot of this need to decondition ourselves from the system that made us employees.
Right.
Right. That's what I see the most in a lot of online business owners or entrepreneurs in the online space is, how do I let myself value that and not value showing up and just being another cog in the wheel, just like everybody else? Like, how do I let myself value this little crazy niche thing, right? Whether it's like a physical product or a service that's just extremely unique and out there, or anything that I want to provide to the world. How do I value that? And I think that's what we're talking about, right? Is that being the rebellious act, is valuing that thing that you were taught doesn't really make you valuable.
Absolutely. Because questioning that, who is they?
Right.
Right. They don't say it's valuable, right? It's
a, but everybody knows what they is, right? Yeah. When you say it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But do they even know? Like, so if I have a great little service that only, I don't know, 0.0001 population can benefit from, right? If they, of course, they are not going to value it because they can't make money off of it.
The big they, yeah.
Yeah, the big they, right? Because so it's like looking at, I mean, what is so awesome is that we get to assign any value we want.
That's true.
Right? Like, even if you even, let's use an example of a physical product. Whoever the inventor or whoever's working on it does have to value it before anyone else.
True.
Right? Because they're the ones who assign the value. Right? And then sometimes we don't. And the thing is like, life is one big adventure because we have all this uncertainty. How can I be certain? We don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes. Ask anybody who planned on COVID. Nobody.
Exactly. Right. That taught us about uncertainty the most, right, in our lifetime, for sure.
I don't care if you had plans. I don't care what they were. They were all canceled, right? Had to be modified. But the fact that we actually are empowered enough, and see, the systems of oppression don't want us to know this. We are empowered enough to know what we are creating and what we have has value. And no one else gets to assign what that value is.
How audacious of you. Right? And I think that's the discomfort, is that little voice that's like, but who do you think you are?
I know. Can I curse on this or no?
Yeah. Please.
I mean, honestly, to every listener, you're motherfucking whatever your name is. That's who you are. And your name is not any less value to any of the people on the Fortune 500 or wealthiest people or any of that list. And how can I say that? And how can I can say that confidently? I can say that based on your ancestors. If it wasn't for your ancestors, you wouldn't be here today.
That's true.
My DNA is made of my ancestors. I don't even know them, but I am still a result of them. And the thing is we never know the impact that we have. Honestly, sometimes we never know that.
Right.
Right. Even after like death or whatever. Right. But the thing is just because you don't know the impact you're currently having doesn't mean you're not having an impact.
That's true. When
people are watching, it's actually really bizarre. Like sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, who's watching me? But I'll never forget, I went to my mother's friend's funeral and his daughter was there. When I was 12 years old, I used to bring her, the daughter, to a playground. I didn't think anything of it. She's now 30 years old telling me how much that used to mean to her. I was just bringing her to a playground. Dude, I say, I'm 12. I'm having an impact on this young lady's life. No, I didn't know the value of me doing that. But this doesn't mean it wasn't to her. So sometimes us, honestly, our just existence is valuable. We don't like us just being.
Yeah.
A lot of your audience is coaches. So how valuable is it just someone having someone that will listen to you, not judge you? And that's one thing I really appreciated. I could be a total weirdo on the calls with Melanie. And I felt totally safe. I told her things I never told anyone else because I was like, who? This is like strange. But yeah, what's the value of that?
Yeah. How? Okay. So how do you think learning human design helped you own the value of what you have to offer?
Well, with some of the things, it's okay. Just FYI, when it comes to anything, I'm not in a box of anything. So even when it came to human design, I wasn't the type like I'm going to accept everything that's offered. I was treating it more like a grocery store to say, okay, this works, this works, this works.
Perfect.
But some of it, yeah. So some of the things, like, it really did like make sense to me. Like, even mm-hmm. when we were most recently talking about confusion, because mm-hmm. I often get, that's my go-to. It's my little blankie. Mm-hmm. but to know that I could use confusion as a catalyst. And it was just different little nuances like that. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Even just being a generator and learning that I should do things that are fun. Like, what? I can do that? It does sound better, though. But not if I'm serious. I'm serious, so I can't have fun. That sucks.
So. Oh gosh, just in owning the value of having fun.
Yes. Yeah.
That's really rebellious.
Yes. So, mm-hmm. and the thing is like just paying attention to like owning your own authenticity, owning having fun. All of this is rebellious. Again, this is all very sounds simple, but again, it goes against the systems of oppression who want each of us listening to fit in a box. None of us are cookie cutter. We have mm-hmm. a lot of similarities, but we were all born so differently to add to the collective of mm-hmm. the human race.
Yeah. And if we are all really out there just being ourselves and owning the value of who we are, mm-hmm. you really can have the perfect thing every time you need it, the perfect product, the perfect service, right? All you have to do is look.
Absolutely.
Or it'll just fall in your lap, right? You're not having to settle for, well, this service kind of works or this product is pretty much okay, right? Like, we feel like we have it better because we can mass produce stuff, but it's also like not helping us in the best way for us even, oh, right? Yeah. Maybe that's a tangent, but it's like too, when you said, you know, if I create a product that helps 0.0001% of the population, right? Like you can't mass produce that and get like trillion, billionaire rich off of it, right? Mm-hmm. But you can help so many people who actually need that particular product. And then that person that created it has freedom to just be who they are.
Oh,
imagine if everybody yes. did that, we would yes. all be so fulfilled with yes. each other's services and goods, and we would yes. all be super fulfilled because we'd all just be being ourselves in the world.
Yes.
Oh my God, imagine that. Right?
Yes. Oh. It sounds like a magical place I would want to live.
Right? It sounds like the Garden of Eden or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Oh my gosh, that's so good. Well, I want to talk to about something else you said that was really... Okay. A great way for me to look at it, because I feel like too, like you said, a lot of the audience here are coaches or service providers of some kind. You're a service provider yourself, right? And so you said something about like the value of service and mm-hmm. how the systems of oppression have taught us to that service isn't something to be paid or right. valued.
Yeah.
And how we all kind of inherently have this conditioning that makes us believe that a physical product is worth more.
Yep.
It's almost easier to spend money on a physical product
mm-hmm.
for most people. Yeah. And then the service provider feels like they have to provide very physical, tangible mm-hmm. things to provide value. So how does this, like owning who you are as being the value, like how does that help you break systems of oppression in that way too? Because a lot of people, they don't sell physical products. And they find it really hard, I think, to sell those things.
Yeah, of course, because and just using patriarchy, for example, right? Most women are into care and emotional support and different services of those of that nature. And it's intangible, right? But because that's outside of patriarchy, it must be bad because you only can, I think on the same call, you were like, if you have a potato peeler,
right.
that, oh yeah, you should give me money for this, but it is wrong if you ask for money for emotional support, care, actual mm-hmm. intangible things that have a ripple effect that can impact huge generations.
Value. Yeah.
Right?
Like you said, the support you gave that person at 12.
Yep.
How valuable was that to that person?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we never know what anyone is going through. And that's why at the same time, if we ask to see what impact, like, again, we'll see a potato pill or whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, I save time. I can spend more time with my family now, right? But the thing is that this intangible stuff, the things that all these service providers, it's not, you can't see it. But the thing, even though you can't see it, talk to the mother, the child of the mother who has a different mother now, who's more present, who's emotionally available for them. What's the price of that? Right. And that's just one example.
And that's like what I would say, like, all millennials want, right? In life, like, any millennial walking around is like, oh my God, I would pay everything to have a parent like that. That's just one random example. Like,
right.
And I'm generalizing, but still.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, right. But we've been taught, oh, that should, that you're wrong to be a part of the capitalist society in charge for that. That doesn't, but again, when in doubt, who benefits? System of oppression, right? Right? Mm-hmm. You're right. It should be free. And that means the service provider would not be able to be focused on that because they'll have to work another job for the rest of their life. So they can't really help people with that service because they still have to pay their mortgage, their rents, and all the other bills.
Right. Because you can't like mass produce that either.
No.
They're trying to. It's not really working.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
With like AI and stuff, like, I don't see that really panning out very well.
But all of it, again, is not, it's no different. Like, for instance, marijuana was once illegal, the sale of marijuana. And now in the U.S., in certain states, you can get it. Okay, how? I thought it was so evil and wicked and don't do it. And it's so horrible for you. But now it's legal to sell? Or is it now taxable? And now there are big corporations that can now make a earning and profit off of it. So that's why it's not legal. But yet it wasn't before.
So how does owning your value as a service provider, how do you think that that has helped you?
So I guess it's just removing the pressure, especially when it comes to marketing. Like, oh, you I have to put out value. I don't know what that means. like when I make a post or I send an email or things of that nature, there's no exchange. So how do I know what's value? So the thing is freezing. So not doing anything, because I think I have to make up some standard of hitting value, which is so ambiguous that I don't even know what that means. Whereas it's actually just being okay to create, talk to people. And I'm reading this book and it was just talking about how even with selling, rich people don't have a problem selling and promoting what they have. Right. But then again, if we're taught selling, for example, is the sleazy used car salesman, I knew about that example even before I could drive. Why is that? Right. Because the thing is selling is not a new profession or a new skill. Even if you're a visionary, if you're a leader, if you're even being a parent, you have to sell your kids on stuff sometimes. Right. Like this is all stuff we've been doing and has been happening for hundreds of years, regardless of the exchange of money, like selling. We all do it, right? But showing up without this pressure of some imaginary value that you have to, but just knowing that whatever you say or whatever I say is the value. Again, on our call, you mentioned like one of your clients having success that way, right? Mm-hmm. She didn't understand who was actually consuming her content, but they were actually like sharing it with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And they never liked it. They never commented. And I'm actually one of those people. So just FYI, there's a lot of people like that.
A lot of people. Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's just, and then honestly, understanding and deprogramming myself to know any action that I do take is a step towards deprogramming. It's not like, right? Like it all makes sense now. I have the value, like, you know, in like a movie or something.
Yeah. And y'all didn't see that. She was just like kind of like, oh, kind of see all of a sudden it all makes sense. Right. It wasn't like a big like coming down from heaven moment.
Exactly. Yeah. But just understanding that. And sometimes I know for me, like I don't have children, but any parent out there, how do you want your kid to feel about themselves? Like, do they have value or do they only have value when they get the A or the B or, I don't know, get the home run or get on the team? It's their existence that has value. But again, being in system of oppression is like only if you're productive and you have this end result, then you're valuable. That's all BS. And that only works for the system of oppression who actually earn money off all of our productivity.
Exactly.
But again, it's okay for me to work a job and be productive. But yeah, if I have a business, I'm productive. No, don't do that. Don't do that. You shouldn't. You're selling something intangible. It's not worth any money. You should do it for free.
And it's crazy to see, too, how many people, especially when I was in my first iteration of coaching business, when I was a relationship coach, and that's all I did, how many people would tell me like other women and mothers, like, you should not charge for this service. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. like, and adamantly believing it, and just mm-hmm. like how it lives inside of all of us, mm-hmm. right? And how triggering yeah. it can be to see people that charge money for their services. And I'm not saying that, like, you should just go out there and charge $100,000 to just have people be in your presence, right? Or anything like that. Yeah. Like, I think there's definitely ways to abuse all things, right? Like this, yeah. that's not Agreed. What we're promoting. But I do think there's so much value in charging for your actual service that you have to provide people, and believing that you are the value, your existence, your passion, your what you have to bring to this world, believing in it enough to show up and give it and provide it.
Yeah, and just owning our value, because what we charge for our service has nothing to do with our value as a person, right? Right? Because we're priceless, valueless. You can't put a quote right. on it, right? So, and that's also separating that, the value we have as individuals and the value of our actual service. But having the freedom, and the reason why we're talking about value is just because, and a lot of times, a lot of speak, put out value.
Right.
It's just like all this, for me, it ends up being pressure,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I don't know what that means. Who determines it? Like, I feel like it's a made up standard that I can't meet. Mm-hmm. So then I either don't show up as myself because there's this made up standard that I'm trying right. to meet, or I don't show up at all. And then, like, I really like to dance. I think it's fun. But I think, like, even being yourself is almost like a dance. I don't care if you have rhythm or not. It's fun. I remember growing up, I used to, like, see people who would get out and do, like, they just start moving and they wouldn't do like any type of dance. Like, I grew up at the time, I would do this dance or this dance. And now it's so funny looking back, I look at that person to see how much freedom that they had, that they didn't care what anyone thought.
Mm.
And honestly, I was the cog in the wheel saying, oh, you're not doing this dance, or you're not doing a dance that a choreographer made up or something. Mm-hmm. But they had so much freedom to be themselves. So when I first signed up to work with you, I did the whole 6-week human design
deep dive.
That was really good. So it was cool to have each of those sessions. And especially, I like knowing that each of them had a topic, and sometimes we went off, but then we came back. Those are really good. So that's when I got like insight to what my human design said. But I just think overall, it was just like, again, just reaffirming how I'm not supposed to fit in the box, which actually, of course, I loved. And then so after that, I went on to do or sign up for devotion. But it was so funny. That was Melanie's like one-on-one program and group program. Well, actually, it was a group program called devotion. I had zero interest in signing up for devotion because I don't like groups. I'm a unicorn. These other people probably won't understand me. It'll probably like suck. And then Melanie sent an email like, oh, by the way, just for additional price of blah, 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 I'm offering one-on-one. I was like, oh, I'll just do it strictly for the one-on-one. We have our first devotion call. I'm like, I guess I'm going to sign up, but this will probably be the last one I do. But to my surprise, like, it went above and beyond what I expected.
Hmm.
It was like a lot of other women like myself, and we're not totally different, but I give them a compliment of like, I felt like we were like all weirdos. And I mean that in the nicest mm-hmm. way. So like my concern, I think I told you, I was like, well, I don't want to be the only unicorn and that like they're horses, right? But I felt like I was in a room full of unicorns, mm-hmm. which was so nice. And we all had like, we're different unicorns, mm-hmm. but we're all unicorns. So, I mean, I think that was that. I wasn't expecting that. And I appreciated that so much. So I thought that was really great. And then even the exercise you had as far as us pair off,
mm-hmm.
again, I thought that was going to be dumb, stupid. I guess I'll do it. And now me and the other person I was paired with, mm-hmm. we're meeting again tomorrow, even though like the devotion, the group program's over. So we're continuing.
But was that valuable?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. It was so great.
So what do you think was the most valuable part about being in a group of people like that, that were all really trying to live outside the box?
I think it's also always beneficial watching other people get coached, because sometimes, like, you know, you have a different view and a different perspective. And like for this one particular, we were all generators. So we had some things like in common. And like, I think that was it. Just seeing some of the similarities, regardless of different experiences, different family dynamics, different points in business. Yeah, I think it was just cool. And it was even something to be like, okay, I'm going to be totally weird about this. Like, and then, no, that's not weird at all. I do the same thing. Like, so I guess it was like being seen because of the things that we had in common, even though I think if someone saw like a picture of us, like if we had a group picture, you'd be like, does this group make sense? Like, like, you know what I mean?
I agree. Yeah.
So, but the fact that we all did was, it was really calm. It was really awesome. And I definitely didn't expect that at all.
So tell me a little bit about, so the pairing off that you're talking about was the listening partnerships that I taught you guys to do with each other and to have. Mm-hmm. How did that change your internal world?
Okay. So, let me tell you about that. Because I haven't even told you this. The thing is doing that exercise, I have actually learned how to listen to myself. Mm-hmm. Right. So like even one thing that has happened is because I've improved that relationship with myself. Now, if something happens, I don't have to tell someone. Right. Mm-hmm. Where before it was like, I have to, like, it's not real unless I share. And it's great is I can still share, but I don't have to. Right. Where it's like, I don't know, this analogy comes to me. It's almost like me eating a bite of a delicious meal and I'm just savoring in the moment without explaining to someone else how good it is.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like I'm just enjoying that bite.
It can be real for you without someone else having to hear about it. It's like the most ultimate internal validation.
Yes, that's honestly, that's what I got. I mean, I'm fading off in a particular relationship because that person was always, I felt like I needed to tell someone and that was the person.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we're very in very different places, but now I don't feel compelled to do that. Like tell anyone. I mean, it's great if I do, like even something happened and I told someone like a week later, but it wasn't like, it's not real unless I share it or unless I get a reaction from someone else. So, yeah, the way I talk to myself has totally changed as a result of that.
Yeah, I think learning to listen to yourself and really hear yourself with compassion and love and no judgment, right, is such an undervalued skill.
Mm-hmm.
That is so valuable, right? Like talking about the intangibles of things offered that one skill can change everything for a person. And yeah, like you said, like the not needing to prove anything through somebody else's validation or reaction or even just knowing someone else knows it happened.
Yeah.
It's almost like you just know who you are and you can trust your own experience. You don't have to prove it to anyone or like, I didn't take a picture of it. It didn't happen. Right. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
To me, that in itself is so anti-oppressive as well.
Yeah.
In that, like, oh, you're not posting it for likes. Like, you don't need everybody else to tell you that's good and okay to enjoy it, to fully experience the pleasure and joy of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's rebellious too.
Yes.
Oh my God. I love how everything's rebellious. I'm like reveling in that so much. It's so good.
I think honestly, listening partnership, that whole skill, like is something that should be taught to kids.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. And it is a parenting skill that I have been using with my children and then learning how to do it with myself. And then I was like, this is something I need to bring into my next group. And just hearing all y'all's reactions, like, because you're not the only one that was like, this is going to be so stupid, but I guess I'll do it. And you show up and then you're like, oh, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And I completely understand because we weren't taught to value listening in that way. Right. And it's kind of unlike anything you've ever really done before. It's not coaching. It's not really even like being a friend. it has a point. There's a little bit, right? There's a nuance to it. Cause remember when I was telling y'all about it, you're like, what? I don't quite understand or get it. Like, mm-hmm. how, what? Right. There were lots of questions and lots of really good ones, but it was interesting too, to see how hard it was for some of you to like lean into, I'm just supposed to like love and trust a stranger. This is mm-hmm. weird. And I think too, that stems from us not loving and trusting those parts of ourselves.
Yes.
That now you probably do because of that skill.
Because before, I think sometimes my self-talk is like I was coaching myself or I was judging mm-hmm. myself, right? So
you weren't truly just like holding it, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't letting myself just, right? Just so calm down. Mm-hmm. Let it out. Like, however you want to say it. Like, this mm-hmm. is a safe, I didn't even have a safe space internally.
In you.
It was like, oh, no, that's dumb. Oh, that's stupid. Oh, you know, you shouldn't. Oh, you know, whatever.
Right.
Oh. But now it's just like allowing myself to take the exhale that I need without telling myself that's too long, right? That just feels good.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think I would love to talk about how one of the things that we came up with together was this question for mm-hmm. you, this kind of one simple question mm-hmm. for everything.
Right.
Right. Is like kind of came from a lot of places, right? But like, who is this benefiting? Great mm-hmm. question, right? But in the end, it was like, is this rebellious?
Yes.
Wasn't that the one question?
Yeah. Or yeah. How can this be rebellious? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what does that unlock for you when you ask that?
First, I'm like, that's what it does. First.
I mean, joy, but it sounds like.
Exactly. That's yeah. exactly what that is.
Play.
Yeah, it's play. And honestly, just in the act of freedom. Mm. Right. It's like when we're little kids, we can't wait to grow up to have freedom, but we still then have the same restrictions that adults put on us. So there's actually no freedom. And that's what that means. And also being rebellious removes the whole right and wrong. Right. Did I do it right? Did I do it wrong? How can you do rebellion wrong? Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it just it's so interesting because just saying is it rebellious, it adds so much safety. I think because it removes the right and wrong or the supposed standard, the right answer, but there's safety in the rebellion. Yeah, for some reason, just like a little girl being at school because I'm supposed to get the good grades, I'm supposed to listen. Whereas if I was told to be rebellious, oh my gosh, that'd be so fun.
Yeah. And I think too, and this is, I think, what I work on with a lot of my clients as well when it comes to being rebellious and going against the status quo and being yourself and learning how to break free from the right and wrong. I think sometimes we kind of go into another paradigm where it's like, oh, no, I have to do everything differently than mm-hmm. the way I was conditioned, mm-hmm. which is just kind of another box.
Right. Exactly.
Right. I think when you were like, is there a way to do rebellion wrong? Well, there actually isn't if you're truly being rebellious.
Right. Yeah.
To me, the most rebellious thing you can do is just doing whatever you want.
Right. Right
yeah. In that moment. And sometimes the thing you want in that moment is what you were taught to want.
True.
So I think that kind of gets in our head sometimes. Like I've mm-hmm. worked with moms, especially before. And it's like, you know, wanting sometimes to just be at home with your kids and just do the stay at home mom thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, it's like, well, I mean, but that's not very rebellious. And it's like, well, it is if that's honestly your truest, most innate desire. It is the most rebellious thing.
Mm-hmm.
It might look like the status quo of what you're supposed to do. Right. So I think that's the only nuance there with that question is mm-hmm. like, are you answering it truthfully from you, from your gut, from your inner knowing?
Mm-hmm.
And if you are, then it doesn't really matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
If it looks like the person next to you, that doesn't mean it's not rebellious, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And also giving yourself the grace and compassion to get there.
Right.
It's like, I'll never forget. I was asked once, like, so what is it you want? I'm like, it's safe for me to want something. I thought I'm supposed to do what everyone says I should do.
Mm.
Right. So even learning what that is and giving yourself the grace to like, let's just figure this out. Mm. And even with the willingness to figure it out is rebellious.
True.
Right. Because it's like, no, you have to have everything figured out. Do not start mm-hmm. the game. Do not mm-hmm. pass go until you have everything figured out first, which is impossible.
And I really see that you owning your line three, being willing to try, learn as you go, right?
Yes. But you know, it's so funny for all the people who are threes and sixes out there, because mm-hmm. I think, was it the, I forget which one. And it's like, oh, in your first 20, 30 years, you're.
That's the six. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're three. Yeah.
Yeah. You're willing to try things out. No, I wasn't. I was a perfectionist. Like, I wasn't willing to try anything. So now that I'm, how old am I? 47. I'm now giving myself, this is, I love reparenting. That's one of my favorite verbs. Oh, mm-hmm. Now I'm allowing myself to try things. Mm. And I don't have to ask anybody either, which is really fun. So this is when adulthood is fun. Right? Like, hey, what is it you want to try? That's it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So even like last year, I started lessons with drums and then I stopped. Mm-hmm. Just because I wanted to. And then right. I'm going to sign up for improv, do some comedy improv. I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh, Ray. So you have to tell me everything. Oh my gosh, because I have to see this. Oh, so good.
So like, it's like, why not? Am I too old? Who says? Like, we don't, I give two flying fucks about what other people got to say, mm-hmm. what other people's standards are, how I should be. I don't have time for that. Life is too short. Like, honestly, it really is too short. So
that's perfect. 3-6 attitude.
And for anyone who's 3-6, it's not too late. Like, if you weren't super, like, I'm trying everything's out when I'm younger. You're as young as you're going to be today. Now is the time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And I think, too, that can be the scariest part is, like, trying it out. Just trying it out. Because that, too, is rebellious. I think
no.
When it comes to the like status quo, right?
Yes.
Is being willing to just like, well, that didn't work. Okay. Change my mind.
I know. Like the whole, you don't need to quit anything. That's bullshit. Mm-hmm. You could quit whatever you don't want, whatever you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, I tried it. It didn't work out. Well, right. You said you're a quitter. You're damn right.
Oh, so good. Right. Well. Oh. Thank you for all of that. So good. That's the best question, right? Like, how can this be rebellious for me, for my people, whatever it is? Such a good question, I think, to leave everybody with. And yeah, what is one last thing you want everyone to know about any of this? Being rebellious, being a generator, learning their design, trying new things?
I guess the thing I would have to say is if you find yourself being frustrated a lot, most likely is because you're living to the status quo and there's a part of you that knows that's not who you are. And so I would have to say, try new things, learn more about human design. Just see, it doesn't hurt, right? Again, life is way too short. And what would the conversation happen with the little five-year-old version? I can't wait to grow up and like live like I got to stick up my butt and have the same routine and live a boring life. Like nobody wants that. Because even doing the same thing all the time can still be fun and rebellious if that's what you want. And you were designed to be you, and not everyone else has to understand that, and everyone else won't like it, but there's so many other people who will. So I would say that's it.
Thank you so much for being here. Just go ahead and tell everybody else how they can find you, follow you, work with you, all the things, anything you want to promote or tell us about.
So you can find me on Instagram at Raisa Monique. It will be in the show notes, as well as I'm starting a podcast called Designed to Be You. So you can find me there.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Melanie. And check Melanie out. Obviously, if you're listening to her, I mean, like, honestly, she's yeah. So my package is done and I'm going to re-sign with her. I mean, honestly, you created such a safe environment. There was nothing that I could say that I didn't feel safe. Especially like, again, for those of you, for anyone who resonates with feeling different, mm-hmm. That's me. Mm-hmm. Definitely check out Melanie.
Thank you.
You're welcome.